Flaming Network, an online network aimed at setting men on fire through the media sphere.
Welcome with me, Daddy EA Odeyemi. Wildman 2022, rejoice this morning. Rejoice this morning. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right. Can you hear me? All right. I'd like you to just shake hands with at least seven people. Move around and tell them congratulations for what the Lord has done already. I rejoice with you for what you will yet do. Glory, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we honor you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Adonai, we worship you, Son of God. You are so good, Almighty God. Our Lord be thy name. Your dominion is forevermore. Adonai, Adonai, we worship you, we worship you, Son of God. You are so good, Almighty God. Hallowed be thy name. Your dominion is forevermore. Father, we bless your name this morning. We have come with our heart filled with gratitude for what you have done in this place in the past few days. We thank you for bringing your children from all over the place. We thank you for your presence, your awesome presence that has manifested in the midst of your children. We thank you, Lord, for this generation now and for the generation next. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for your preparation. We thank you for the assignments. We thank you for the commissioning. We thank you, Lord, for the great purpose that you have for the life of this your children. Father, accept our thanks and praises in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for salvation of souls. We thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. Lord, we thank you for giving a new beginning to several lives. My Father, my God, we thank you for cleansing. We thank you, Lord, for touching lives. We thank you for glorifying your name. Above all, Daddy, we thank you for the expansion of your kingdom here on earth. Accept our thanks and praises in the name of Jesus. This morning, we have come before you just as we are again. We know you are not tired of blessing us. We pray, Lord, you will minister to us again this morning in the name of Jesus. We appreciate you, Lord, for all the ministers and the facilitators that you have used to bless us. We ask that you will bless them as well in the name of Jesus. We appreciate you exceedingly for the visioner of this particular program, your son, P. Daniel. We pray that your hand will rest upon him permanently and mightily in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. All this, your children, we ask that they will all return with testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. And everybody will say, let somebody shout hallelujah. I want to thank God for the privilege I have to be here at this time. I have about 45 minutes to do all that God has placed in my heart to do. About 45 minutes. Within those 45 minutes, we'll be doing quite a lot of things. And so I want you to remain active. I have participated in this program over the last few days online. Yesterday night, I was there physically to see exactly what the Lord is doing in this place and to be part of this particular blessing. And I want to thank God for P. Daniel for this great vision that the Lord had given to him. I want to thank God for the sacrifices that the Lord has helped him to make and for all the team working with him. I want to assure you of our prayers, and I want to assure you that you will succeed mightily in the name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen well. I'll be doing three things to begin with. We'll be praying for Nigeria. The context that God is sending you to begins from your Jerusalem, Nigeria. And I believe without any doubt, the work that God has given to you, the assignments that you have ahead of you at this point in time, you will be able to do it much better if there is peace in Nigeria. So I'd like you to help me tell your friend, your neighbor, there must be peace in Nigeria. Please say it very well. I also appreciate the fact that there are several of you here who will be able to fulfill the purpose of God for your life. If we have a conducive political and economic environment, as a pastor, I'm well aware of the challenges that our young people go through today in Nigeria. My heart is burdened for the young adults in Nigeria. I was leading a prayer a few days ago, and I told the people, by the time many people should have stopped bearing children in Nigeria today, many of them are not even yet married. And the reason is all far-fetched. The situation that we find ourselves, we must pray our way through. We cannot afford that Nigeria will remain in ridicule in the Committee of Nations. Nigeria must change for the better. And Nigeria will change for the better. Let your amen be louder. As the Lord is sending you out as witnesses, we are going to back up this particular assignment with prayers. That's the reason why Paul, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1, First Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then he adds, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks must be made for all men. May I submit to you this morning that one of the most endowed and enriched land in the whole world is Nigeria. One of the most blessed country in the whole world is Nigeria. If there is any reason why the adversary is fighting for the soul of this country, it's simply because Nigeria carries a great destiny. I rejoice with you that you are a Nigerian. This country carries a great destiny. And this country shall fulfill our destiny. Are you ready to pray? Please, I want you to help me ask your neighbor. Are you ready to pray? Please jump on your feet. Jump on your feet, everybody. We are going to pray for Nigeria right now. You are going to say after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you that I'm a Nigerian. I am aware you have blessed my land. I am aware you have endowed this land. I am aware that Nigeria carries a great destiny. Therefore, Heavenly Father, intervene in our situation. Go ahead and cry to the Lord. Intervene, oh Lord. I'm aware, Lord. I'm aware. I can see the evidence all over the place. Yes, Lord, I am aware. Intervene. Arise. Help your land. Help this nation. Lord God of heaven, you have helped other countries. Help our land in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help our land in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help Nigeria. Destroy the yoke of oppression. Destroy the yoke of poverty. Destroy the yoke of joblessness. Destroy the yoke of leadership cluelessness upon our leaders. My Father, intervene. Show us the way. Show us the way. Because of the generation of your children, because these your children are committed to you, O Lord, and because they know you have raised them up, O Lord, to make an impact in this country, intervene for their sake. In the name of the Lord Jesus, my Father, intervene for their sake. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let your amen be louder. Now, one more prayer for Nigeria. I am sure that you have fallen up with what is happening in the past few days. I'm sure you are fallen up with the kind of revelation coming out, secrets that have been leaked about how people fleece Nigeria of our resources. If I begin to talk about that will take all our time. The latest of them all is the issue of stamp duty that amounts to trillions of naira. And this money has been stashed in some private accounts in 17 banks in Nigeria. These things have been going on all for years. In fact, I read a report yesterday, and that fellow said, if the central bank governor should open his mouth and open his record and begin to reveal secrets, this government will fall headlong. It's as bad as that. Now, I prayed a prayer this morning, which we are going to pray now. We are going to make Nigeria uncomfortable for all agents of corruption. We are going to tell the land of Nigeria to eject them. Are you ready to pray? I want to say after me, Heavenly Father, we make this country uncomfortable for all agents of corruption. Drive them out. Cry to the Lord, cry to the Lord, cry to the Lord. Drive them out. Drive them out. Yes, Lord. Let this land vomit them. All agents of corruption. Let this land vomit them. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Drive them out. Drive them out. We have suffered enough. Enough of subjugation, enough of oppression, enough of poverty. Drive them out. Let this land vomit them. That's our demand, oh Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, so that this your children can fulfill their destiny. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody will say, you can have your seat. Second thing that God asked me to do, and I'm going to do that very fast. Two more things before I share the word very briefly. The Lord has given you a great opportunity. Great privilege. Just like I heard Pete Daniel say yesterday, that he's standing on the shoulder of our Father in the Lord. The Lord had given you a great privilege to be part of a relay race. Some people have been running that race before you. Now it's your time to receive the baton. But you must realize that if some people have not been running the race, there is no race for you to run. So what am I getting to? What's the Lord saying to you? You must appreciate your pastors. I want you to help me tell your neighbor, appreciate your pastors. Please say it very well. You must appreciate your parents who raised you up. Many of these pastors, they didn't have the privilege that we had. Many of them, they lost a lot of things. They sacrifice a lot of things in order to ensure that the message will be preserved to reach your generation, so that you can pick up where they stop. We must never forget, without them, we will not be where we are today. Many of them, some even lost their family. Some lost their health. Some paid the supreme sacrifice. You must appreciate them in your denominations, in your ministries, in your churches. When you get back home, go to your pastors and tell them, "Sir, ma, I appreciate your sacrifice over my life." Many of them might not have the opportunity to have attended the institutions that you attended. But without them, you will not be where you are today. And make sure that you take gifts to them. Not just once, but from now on, make sure you appreciate them by giving them gifts. Why? As you are doing that, you are sowing to the future that God has in mind for you. What I am enjoying today is what I have sowed in the past. So tell your neighbor, sow to their lives. Please say it very well. I can't hear you all. That takes me to the third thing I want to mention. Watch out for missteps. Watch out for missteps. The Bible had shown you in clear terms those things that the adversary of our soul will dangle before you. For everyone that God had given an assignment to, you must always bear in mind people like the children of Eli. The children of Eli, they had a great, great, great opportunity to represent God in their generation. But they fell for the things that the enemy dangled before them. They fell for the meat. They fell for money. They fell for pleasure. They fell for immorality. They fell. And frighteningly, and this is a frightening thing, 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 12 says, "Now the children of Eli were sons of Belial." Son, the children of a priest, the children of a pastor, the children that had great opportunity to represent God for their generation, the Bible says they were sons of the devil. May that not be said of you. Let your amen be very loud. Watch out for missteps. Watch out. Watch out. There are things that the enemy will dangle before you. Because, why am I giving this particular warning? Because it is now compulsory. You will succeed. You will succeed. In fact, it is not just that you have bought your ticket to success. It is not just that you have checked in for success. It is not just that you have boarded. I can assure you, you are already on flight to success. And when the success comes, these are the things that the enemy will dangle before you. You must make up your mind. When those things are dangled before you, just like the sons of Eli, you will refuse them. Watch out for missteps. That is the reason why you must attach yourself to mentors. Your mentor may not have large followership. The size of his church may not be large. But I heard something that P. Daniel said first day. He said Jesus Christ talked about John the Baptist and described him as the greatest. Even though he didn't perform a single miracle. But because of what he saw, these mentors have seen something. They have had encounters. You need them. Search them out. Attach yourself to right people who will be able to hold you by the hand. And from time to time, they can hear God on your behalf. When there is a danger around, they can give you a call. They can warn. They can scold you. They will pray with you. They will instruct you. Just to ensure that you finish well. Because you must finish well. And you will finish well. All right. Witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which seeth he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Tarry ye. The Lord Jesus told them, wait for the promise of the Father. My emphasis at this closing ceremony is on that particular aspect of the passage. In Luke 24:49, the Lord Jesus said, and behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye. Wait. Tarry ye. Wait. Now, many of us might be of the opinion at this time that we are at the graduation ceremony. May I tell you, this is not a graduation ceremony. In fact, this is your commencement. You are just about to begin. God has sent you here into this particular program for retooling, for reskilling, and for empowerment, so that you can commence. And therefore, do not be of the opinion that as I'm going home, I am going to relax. Oh, the next 1 week I need to sleep very well because I have done a lot of work. No, you are to commence. Whatsoever you have been doing well, the prayers you have been praying, the hours you have invested, you must continue to invest those hours. Because it is in doing the same thing over and over and over again that it becomes your habit. And it is only when it becomes your habit that you become what God wants you to be. So you must bear it in mind. You are just about to commence what God has in mind for you. Tarry ye. To tarry is to remain at a place waiting for something promised. Tarry. And that tarrying may take several weeks, several months. You are tarrying. You are waiting for him. There are a lot of things he wants to deposit into your life. He has just shown you a little bit. You are just scratching the surface now. And he is saying, son, daughter, tarry. Tarry. There is still a lot to learn at my feet. Tarry. As you go through the word of God, as you digest the Bible from cover to cover, and you sit at his feet, learning, listening, meditating, digesting the word, as you tarry in his presence, he begins to cause a change within you from glory to glory until you are conformed to the image of the Son of God. Tarry. It is not about what has happened. It's about what will yet happen. Therefore, tarry. You need to tarry because this is an instant generation. And an instant generation is in a hurry. But God is saying, no, tarry. Sit down. Learn. I used to tell the story of a young man. I learned that story when I was still a minister, an altar minister, several years ago in the church. He went to his pastor one day. Pastor, I want to preach. I want to reach the whole world with the message of the gospel. The pastor took a look at him and said, sit down. Sit down. Just sit down. Listen to the word of life. After some weeks, he ran to the pastor. Pastor, I'm ready. I want to preach. The pastor sent him to the children's Sunday school. Go and preach to them there. After some time, he came to pastor. He was troubling his pastor from time to time. I am ready. I am ready. And then one day, the pastor said, you will be preaching next Sunday in the church. And when he was coming to church, he dressed up and carried his Bible. The great preacher was coming to the altar. And as he was coming to the altar, you know, he had never practiced what we call stretch fright before. He didn't know this thing that we call stretch fright. He didn't know the dynamics of standing before a crowd. And so, he came and put his Bible down and opened the Bible and opened his notebook and raised up his head. And when he raised up his head, and he saw rows of head in front of him, everything he wanted to say disappeared. He opened his mouth, no word came. He didn't prepare for what he saw. And you know what happened? After about 5 minutes, he carried his Bible again. But this time, instead of coming confidently to the altar, he left with bowed heads. May I tell you, if you go to the altar with raised head, you will leave with bowed head. If you go with bowed head, you will come back with raised head. God is saying to you this morning, tarry ye. There is still a lot to learn. Please, I want you to help me tell your neighbor, tarry ye. There's still a lot to learn. Please say it very well. Say it very well. I can't hear you well. Why must I tarry? I have about 25 minutes more to go. So let me just give you those 5 points that the Lord has asked me to give to you. Why must I tarry? Number one, those who tarry they learn obedience and they grow in obedience. Those who tarry, they learn obedience and they grow in obedience. Now, you must not forget the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ left for heaven, when he gave the charge and told the disciples, wait for the promise, tarry for the promise, Apostle Paul made us to understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. In 1 Corinthians 15, 6, he told us, he said Jesus was seen by about 500 men when he was going up. About 500 men. But how many people waited for the promise? 120. Those who tarry, they learn obedience. One of the things your generation must learn is obedience to divine instruction. They learn obedience. Number two, those who tarry, they embrace unity and they grow in it. It will shock you, my brothers and my sisters, that one of the things you must learn to do, one of the things you must grow in, is the spirit of unity. Excuse me. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. Acts 1 14. The Bible says, these all continued in one with one accord in prayer and supplication. One accord. Unity. Unity. Many of you, you are stars when you are walking alone. But the assignment that God has given to you cannot be done alone. Ministry cannot be done alone. You need unity. And when you are united, you are looking for the success of the other person as well. Where there is unity, it is not a matter of it must be me alone. When people are not living in unity, they are looking for the opportunity to pull down the next fellow. The greatest problem of the church today is disunity. You may blow tongues. If you are not living in unity, you will become like the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was highly endowed. They manifest all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it was a disjointed church. You can't afford to be a Corinthian church. Embrace unity. Grow in it. To embrace unity and to grow in it requires a lot of sacrifice. It requires that you will give of your own freedom. The things that are your own, you will release it to the other person. As long as there will be peace. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Unity. That was the reason why Jesus told the disciples. John chapter 13, 34 to 35. John 13, 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give unto you. And I'm speaking as his mouthpiece this morning. That you love one another as I've loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know. All men. People will know who we are. When there is unity and love. When we genuinely love. Where there is agape love, there is unity. Number three. Those who tarry, they attract power. They soak up power. They are like dry sponge. They soak up power because they tarry. Jesus told the disciples on day 40 before he went to heaven. He spent 40 days here before he went to his father finally. He told them on day 40, said, I'm leaving. He left in their presence. Say, tarry in Jerusalem. They tarry. from the day that Jesus left to the day that the Holy Ghost came, there were 10 days interval. 10 days they were doing nothing but to pray and to be in expectation. They were like dry sponge. They attracted the power of the living God on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible says they were all with one accord. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. The soak of power. Those who tarry. That is the reason why I have told you what you have just done in the past few days. You have just scratched the surface. This will be the pattern for the rest of your life. You have signed in now onto a great thing. You can't back out anymore. It must be permanent. It must be a thing you do permanently. You must be locked up with him. You must tarry. You must create that opportunity for yourself to be in touch with him from time to time. Don't wait until you are called together like this alone for feasting. Create your own personal retreats when you will be with the Lord alone from time to time. When you do that, each time you tarry in his presence, you attract power. You soak in power. Those who tarry, they soak up power. That takes me to number four. Those who tarry are vessels for kingdom expansion, not for empire building. There are two different things. Those who tarry, they are vessels for kingdom expansion, not for empire building. You must not forget that the day that the power of the living God fell in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says those who gladly received the word were baptized. And same day, 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. Kingdom expansion. And the church began to grow. 3,000, 5,000, multitude, uncountable. The church began to grow. Kingdom expansion, not empire building. And because they are after kingdom expansion, you don't see them jostling for position. I have said it time and again, we've gotten something wrong when you see the church the way we jostle for position today. Something is wrong somewhere. Has it ever occurred to you, my people, that when you look at Acts chapter 1, Simon Peter was the chairman of the conference where they were to choose another apostle. He was the one who rose up and addressed the meeting. By the time you get to Acts chapter 15, Peter was not the chairman. By that time, it was James, the brother of Jesus. Peter had not died. Peter had not committed anything. But the Holy Spirit had shifted leadership to James, the brother of Jesus, and nobody complained about it. No jostling for position or for attention. Whenever people have not learned kingdom mentality, whenever people have not imbibed what it means to be in the kingdom, one of the things we'll see is that everybody wants attention. That's not why you are here. You are here because you are part of a kingdom project. Kingdom expansion, not empire building. Tell your neighbor, kingdom expansion, not empire building. Please say it again. Please say it again. Those who tarry, they are committed to doing quality work. Take note of that. That's my number five. Those who tarry, they are committed to doing quality work. Discipleship. They raise up disciples. They raise up people who can represent Christ wherever they go. They raise up people who will be able to replicate the life of Christ within their community. They will preach the gospel as witnesses. They will back it with signs following. And their lifestyle will promote kingdom values. They are committed to doing quality work. That was what the apostles were doing. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of breads and prayers. They continued steadfastly. They were committed to doing quality work. Apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They were learning the word of God. They were soaking in the word of God. They were in fellowship. Because they know you must not forsake the assembly together of one another. That's how you grow. They were breaking bread. Jesus Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. They were constantly remembering the Lord Jesus. They were in prayers. Quality work. Now listen to me very well. When heavens are opened over you, men will deliver things to you. Alternatives will come into your life. And if you are not careful, you will fall for the alternatives. When heavens were opened upon the apostles, men began to deliver things to them. The Bible reveals to us that people were bringing things to the feet of the apostles. They were bringing their money. Those who have houses, they sold their houses. Those who have plots, they sold their plots. They were bringing money. The church became exceedingly rich. Alternatives. And may I tell you, all those things were alternatives. And the apostles were aware. And whenever the heavens are opened, just as you have people who want to do what is right, you will also have people who don't want to do things right. You have people who want to attract your attention. You have people who want to use any kind of method to get to the top. One of such people was a man called Ananias. Acts chapter 5. Now, towards the end of Acts chapter 4, you will find the story of a man who was called Barnabas. He was surnamed Barnabas by the apostles. He was a son of encouragement. He was a man who gave up his life and gave us his things to serve the church. But by the time you get to Acts chapter 5, there was a man and a wife who also wanted to attract attention. But they didn't have the right spirit. Whenever the heavens are opened over a congregation, there will be all kinds of elements there. I don't know which of the elements you are. Are you in the camp of Barnabas or you are in the camp of Ananias and Sapphira? Nobody can choose for you. You must make a choice. Just like Barnabas sold his land and brought the proceeds to the apostles, Ananias and Sapphira also sold their own land. But the difference was this. They connived together. They agreed. They said, we will tell the apostle, we will tell Peter, this is all we have sold our land. This land, we sold it for 100,000 naira. Even though it was sold for 200,000 naira. There was nothing wrong in selling your land for 100,000 naira or for 200,000 naira. And you say, okay, out of what I have sold my land, I want to contribute 50,000. There's nothing wrong in that. The problem was that they are introducing hypocrisy and deception into the body of Christ. Whenever the heavens are opened over a congregation, hypocrisy and deception will also try to look for a way to enter. But the apostles, we are sensitive. I'm praying for you, for someone here, that the Lord will raise up by virtue of this particular meeting, that you will be sensitive, so that alternatives will not destroy your ministry. They were sensitive. Peter heard the Holy Ghost clearly. The Holy Ghost made him to understand, son, there's a problem here. You must deal with this problem immediately. May I say to you, whenever you find a negative spirit, deal with it immediately. It must not be condoned. He dealt with that particular spirit. He ejected them and removed them from fellowship. By the time you get to Acts chapter 6, the Bible reveals to us there, the disciples have become multitudes in Jerusalem. Now, the church had grown. Growth has its own challenges. I was excited when I was listening to the idea of the witnesses who will go from city to city to preach the gospel. Very soon, there will be growth. When there is growth, Acts chapter 6 will come to play. The Bible reveals to us, there was murmuring. The disciples had grown. But some group felt that they were not being taken care of as other groups. Tribalism entered. Nepotism entered. Some people have been taken care of, others have not been taken care of. Complaints entered. Murmuring entered. And these things will affect the move of the spirits. So what is it that the apostles did? Acts chapter 6. The Bible says the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. You want to do quality work? You can't afford to leave the word of God and serve tables. You want to do quality work? You must make up your mind what you want to serve. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. Acts 6 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Priority. Those who want to do quality work, they are people of priority. What is your priority number one? Before I round up my message this morning to you, your priority must be clear. My brother, my sister, beloved children of God, your priority must be clear. I used to tell those who are older than you, what makes your ministry is not how much your shoe costs. I don't know whether you have listened to some ministers before who will tell you how God has blessed them because their shoe is costly. Who will tell you how God has blessed them because their suit costs so amount of money. Who will tell you how God has blessed them because they ride a kind of car? All those things are alternatives. They will destroy your work. That is not where you are going. Tell your neighbor, that's not where I'm going. Please say it very well. The apostles were clear. They said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Over the years, over decades, I've seen several young people who will come around and say, sir, God has called me. And I'll tell them, glory be to God, I'm excited. But from time to time, the Holy Spirit will tell me, these ones, it is their belly that has called them. They are looking for something. They don't have the spirit of the apostles. The apostle said, no, we know what Jesus Christ has asked us to do. That's the only thing we will do. We will pray. We will preach the word. Therefore, look for men who will be distributing food, who will be counting money. So they selected people who will count money, who will distribute food. And the Bible says in verse 7, because these people gave themselves to prayer, to the ministry of the word, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Because they are people of priority. May I tell you, for 35 years, I've been preaching the gospel, doing nothing more than preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. For 35 years, God has taken care of all my needs. May I tell you, for 35 years, because when I came to ministry, my children were still very small. God provided enough to send them to school without begging. May I tell you, the one you have come to serve is more than enough. He can take care of every need. But those things are not your priority. His call upon your life is the priority. Settle down and do a quality work. Be a man, be a woman, a vessel for kingdom expansion. And make sure you make up your mind, whatsoever is going to cost me, I will spend and be spent to ensure I do my best for God. I will not fall for the alternatives. Stand up on your feet, everybody. This is not the kind of message that you hear and you begin to shout. This is a message that will send you to think very deeply. Because 10 years down the line, if Christ has not come, you will remember that I say these things to you today. 20 years down the line, you will remember. That's the reason why I have just about 2 minutes more. You will pray a very simple prayer. Help me to remain focused. Don't let me fall for the alternatives. Help me to tarry. To tarry in your presence. Help me to prove you in my own generation that just as you helped them in the first century, you are still helping people today. Help me to prove you. Pray that prayer. Pray it for yourself. Because God is looking for people like you who will take up this challenge. If this generation will be delivered, if this generation will be saved, God needs you. But God will only make use of those who are men and women of priority, who will do quality work, quality work, quality work. I believe you are praying for yourself. I believe you are praying for yourself. Those who will last in this assignment, they will give themselves to continual prayer and to the ministry of the word. They will be focused. Because they are aware that there are alternatives, they will not allow alternatives to derail them. Those who will preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, they will be prepared to give their best to God in season and out of season. Being witnesses can be challenging, but they will not buckle under pressure. In season and out of season, they will be at their duty posts. They will not bend. They will not fall for alternatives. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Lord, I appreciate you. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Lord. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided. I have decided.
Oh, Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
I have decided,
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I am designed
to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you have been instructed and inspired by the Spirit of God.
Don't forget to share and subscribe to get notifications for more messages and videos.
God bless you.